Please be seated. Please be seated. Please be seated. Let me start with this statement. And I don't know why that always does it to me when I start. But this statement I want to make, it was all because of what Bert taught on last Sunday. Okay? And I thought, when she said it, it struck me. And so, Bert, I think you'll understand when I read this. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, and is God's revelation of Himself to us. It is a great treasure of His divine instruction for us. It has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for its content. Therefore, all Scripture is totally true and trustworthy. I think we can all agree with that statement, can we not? When you talked about the atheist and about the men who wrote the Bible, it was divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can and we should believe every word and every promise that God inspired to be written is for us. It's for us. To believe, it simply comes down to one thing: trust. Proverbs 3:5 says we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. All our heart. And lean not to our own understanding. No. So it's a trust issue. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. Trust. The one five-letter word that will unlock the floodgates of heaven for you and me. Trust. Now that's whether it's concerning salvation, healing, tithing, prosperity, favor, or anything else. God is more than capable of meeting and exceeding everything He has promised. And don't you ever let the devil steal the truth from you. Okay? Because the truth, what did Jesus say in John 8:32? He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth will not only set you free, but it will keep you free. The question is, why can't we seem to trust Him enough to believe it? You have needs, and He knows you do. And He knows you will always have needs. See, that's why He had the Apostle Paul write Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Need is a condition requiring supply or relief to take care of a lack. With Jesus, there is no lack of any good thing. And the good news, Paul's God, that's our God. That's why there are scriptures that say, to him who has an ear, let him hear. You notice he says, has an ear to hear? In fact, he gave us two ears so we can hear accurately. The Bible is an all-inclusive book, which means God included everything in it we would ever need. It is the authoritative word of God, and it's not to be picked apart and made to be read the way we would like it to be read. Okay, those are strong words. Amen? And you know whose words they are? They're God's words. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. And Paul wrote this epistle to the Galatian people there. And we're going to look to chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Yeah, but let's go up and let's read 6 included in that. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 8. But even if we, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Accursed. That means you're cursed. Paul is talking about eternal condemnation. He's talking about total destruction. The Lord, through Paul, wanted to be clear on deviating from the gospel. That's why both 8 and 9 say the same thing. Now, at the cross of Jesus came salvation, forgiveness of sins, and also the healing that came about as a result of it. Turn to John, okay, Big John 19. Now, we're going to look at this as Jesus. He's been crucified. He's been beat. He's been nailed to a cross, and he's hanging on this cross. Verse 28. After this, while he's hanging there, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Said, I thirst. After you have worked and worked hard at something and you're done and you go in to sit down, you thirst, do you not? Jesus worked hard. He said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. There was no more to be accomplished. There was never going to be any do-overs. Perfection had seen fulfillment. It is finished. What had just been accomplished would never fall short. It would always be more than enough to achieve what it had been sent to do, no matter what was required of it for all of eternity. When Jesus died on the cross, it accomplished many things for us as believers. It opened the door to salvation, which is God's all-inclusive benefit for all eternity. With that in mind, turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you know why it says might be saved? Because it's our choice. He made the way, but it's our choice. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became entitled to every benefit his finished work at the cross brought with it. He forgave all our sins, past, present, and future. Plus, he promised never to remember them again. He promised never to remember them again. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 25. The Lord speaking here, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. For his own sake? Because that's the only way he could fellowship with you and have a relationship with you. He had to blot those things out. Plus, he didn't want to look at those ugly sins no more, because sin is ugly. Yeah. So he did it for his own sake. He wants to see the beautification in you because of the righteousness you've been clothed with, as pastor's been teaching about. He says, and I will not remember your sins. In Hebrews 8:12, in the ERV, it says, and I will forgive the wrongs they have done, and I will not remember their sins. Grace, favor, healing, health, prosperity, and every other blessing God has been longing to give to us since the beginning were all provided for as well at the cross of Jesus. Absolutely everything that we have need of, Jesus provided for at the cross when he paid a debt he didn't know. Yeah, he paid the debt he didn't know. Didn't owe it. And he didn't use a check, credit or debit card. He didn't even use cash. He used his blood. The broken body and his blood is what he used to pay. But what I want to talk about and stress this morning is the healing power that came about and is available because of the cross. When Jesus died, he took away our sins. He also took away our sickness and disease as well. Isaiah 53:4. Says, surely he hath bore our griefs. That means sicknesses. You look it up, that's what it means, sicknesses. And he carried our sorrows. Sorrows is disease. And also, sorrows is pains, both physically and mentally. He carried diseases, he carried our pains, both physically and mentally. Yet, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Why smitten of God? Because anyone that hangs on a tree is cursed, is what the word says. Isaiah 53:4 in the ERV reads, the fact is, it was our suffering he took on himself. He bore our pains. But we thought that God was punishing him, that God was beating him for something he did. Not the case. For 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could be right with God. Now here's something to provoke your thinking today. Science tells us, medically speaking, that there are 39 root causes for every sickness and disease in the world. To some, that would be useless information. If you weren't a Christian, this information probably wouldn't matter much to you at all. But if you are a child of the King, it's interesting that this article by the AMA, American Medical Association, should report 39 root causes for all sickness and disease. Well, 2,000 years ago in the Roman Empire, it was customary to whip criminals with an instrument called a cat of nine tails. And the cat of nine tails, it had stone, bone, broken glass, and anything else that they might be able to induce pain into the physical body embedded into those strips of leather that they used to beat the criminal. When a person was beaten with this whip, it would rip the flesh right off a person's body. The beating alone was often enough to kill the criminal. Pure torture, folks. That was pure torture to be beat with that. Not just a whip. Now in Isaiah 52:14, it gives a description of Jesus, what he looked like after this beating. I'm going to read it to you from the NLT. But many were amazed when they saw him. His face was so disfigured, he seemed hardly human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. How many of you have seen the Passion of the Christ? Come on, how many? Okay. Do you remember the scene where they beat Jesus? Doesn't even come close. Doesn't even come close to what he took by that beating that day. I watched that. The first time I saw that movie, I was sitting with Pastor. I'll tell you what. It took me back. Pastor jumped up out of the chair. He was, and we both looked at each other. We wanted to go up there on the screen and attack them for what they were doing to Jesus. You know, am I right, Pastor? We reacted. It was like, the beating he took, and he took it for us. Well, so the customary number of the stripes given with this whip was 40 minus 1, or 39. The Roman soldiers considered it an act of mercy to deduct one stripe from the prisoner. The interesting thing about this is that there are 39 root causes for every disease and sickness on planet Earth. It was no coincidence that Jesus was beaten with a whip 39 times. And what it means? It means 39 for 39.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And when I got there, I kept going back, and this kept coming up in my mind. Flu season.
Yeah.
Flu season, right? We got the Asian flu. We got the swine flu. We got this variation, that variation of flu. We got a new type flu. But guess what? They all have one root cause.
Amen.
And somebody bore that for us.
Amen.
Think about that. It still has one root cause. And it still keeps trying to come back in a different variance. It's still, you were healed. Isaiah 53, you're still there. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sins. Ours. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sin and guilt. The chastisement or correction for our peace, our well-being, our welfare was upon him. For us.
Yes.
For us.
Amen.
And by his stripes we are healed.
Yes, sir.
That word healed there is Rapha. Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah heals. On that cross, it is finished. Healed. Jehovah healed that day. Not in the future. Right then and there. It's been ours. It's always been ours. In 1 Peter 2:24, it resonates the same message in the New Testament. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. I didn't say it. The Word says it. The Word says it. Word says you were healed. When I was reading this, I was sitting there, I said, okay. Because I was reading it for me. The Word was telling me, you're healed. You're healed, son. Okay, I'm healed, Lord. I'm healed. And that's what I have to keep saying. When Jesus died over 2,000 years ago, he took our sickness, our diseases, and our sins. Every last one of them. And for every stripe Jesus took, he also took the root cause of every physical and mental sickness that would ever be encountered by us. Notice that it says, we are healed. When Jesus said, it is finished, at that very moment, it was done. We can't get any more healed. No, we can't. You can't get any more healed than you already were at the cross. The check's not in the mail, folks. It's already been delivered. It's been deposited, and it's accredited to your account. Make a withdrawal. Huh? Come on, make a withdrawal. I am healed. So just so we get a better understanding concerning the thought of Jesus bearing our sicknesses and diseases, turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look to verse 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a big old stick. No. He cast out the spirits with a word. A word. And healed all. All who were sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "And he himself took our infirmities, our weaknesses, and bore our sicknesses." Now notice up that in the verses we just read up to this point, Jesus didn't bear his sins. He didn't have any. He never knew sin. He bore ours. And he didn't have any infirmities either. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Many people are willing to believe that Jesus took their sins, but not their sicknesses. Now, does the Bible say that somewhere? Did I miss that verse? Because, see, I sat under an awesome teacher, and I think he'd have pointed that out to me. No. So why would anyone think that would be the case? Let's think about this for a second here. Forgive a lifetime of sins. Transport you at death to another undisclosed location. Sustain, keep, and suspend you there. Give you a new body on the way there. One that doesn't get sad anymore. One that doesn't have pain. One that can supernaturally go to and fro and be able to pass through mass and matter and do it all forever. Or heal your sicknesses. Which do you think would be harder and require more effort? Salvation or healing? Is one harder to do than the other for Jesus? Like he's only capable of doing one thing at a time. He taught us multitasking.
Amen.
Come on. That, my friend, is in total disagreement with the written word of God. And that belief diminishes what the word clearly says was accomplished and paid for at the cross. All things were accomplished the moment Jesus spoke those words, "It is finished." Nowhere in a word does it say that Jesus denied anyone their healing when they came to him and asked. There were occasions when he asked you doubt and oh unbelief to leave the room, but never the one who was looking to be healed. Our pastor taught me when we were going to pray for someone that you never let you doubt and oh unbelief come along. And if they end up in a room with you, you kick them out of the room. That's another story the pastor can share with you. And I'll tell you something else. There were times when people who needed a healing were in his presence, in the Lord Jesus' presence, and went away without a healing. So you can witness a healing, but until you ask, until you want it for yourself, and you have the faith and trust to receive it, it won't happen. It won't happen. The woman with the issue of blood, she needed a healing for 12 years, But until she reached out in faith and trusted that Jesus could deliver what she needed, it didn't happen. Here's an extra. She also spoke. Well, she said in Mark 5:28, for she said, if only I might touch the clothes on his physical body, I shall be made well. She had to go out. She spoke it. She spoke the words that if I go out and I literally touch his clothes, she said, I shall be healed. She didn't say, I might get my healing. Maybe I'll get my healing if I touch. No, she did, and then she went out and she did it. She went out no matter what it took in that crowd of people crawling on her hands and knees to reach up and touch the tassel, the little tassel. And she was healed instantly. But she spoke. Folks, you got to speak too. When someone doesn't believe that God is still in the healing business today, it diminishes what Jesus did that day on the cross. It's like he didn't do enough for something, you know. He was scourged. He was beaten beyond recognition. And then he was crucified with the weight of the world's sins. That's all of man's sins, past, present, and future. Statistics tell us 108 billion people have walked this earth since creation. That's 108 billion lifetimes of sin he paid for on the cross. If there is any doubt as to whether Jesus' selfless act on the cross was enough, 108 billion he carried. Now that sounds like a big number, doesn't it? Truth is, he died for an infinite lifetime of sins. No man could ever come up with that number. Jesus bore all the sin, sickness, and disease you have ever had and will ever have, period. Because, see, when it tries to attack you, you're healed. He's already bore it. Well, what about the ones that haven't been discovered yet? You know, they say that disease is becoming more resilient to medications. All means all. Let me repeat. All means all. He took them all away at the cross. He's 39 for 39. If Jesus died for my healing, then why do people still get sick? It seems like lots of people question the benefit of healing in the finished work of Jesus because there are so many people that are sick in the world. Well, are there lost people in the world? Does this mean that Jesus didn't provide something for them in the work of the cross? And I know you're all sitting there saying, yeah, well, we all know he did. For Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The key thing to activating both of these truths, salvation and healing, in your life is faith. You have to believe. And you have to use that five-letter word, trust. Trust. Trust with your whole heart. The same way you believe that Jesus could forgive your sin is the same way he can heal you. By faith you believed and confessed it with your mouth that it was true. So your miracle is already and always has been in your mouth. I'm healed. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, make sure we all understand. Romans 8, or Romans 10, verse 8. Sorry about that. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise from God. Salvation. A new relationship. It's a covenant we entered into with God. And Jesus is the guarantor. So you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth that Jesus died for your sins. You were saved from death and now have everlasting life in eternity with Him. And confession, when you look it up in the Greek, it means let us hold fast to saying the same thing. Let's say the same thing that the Word says. That's what confession is. Saying the same thing as the Word says. Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we are healed. We are healed. So you can say that by His stripes I am healed. You can say it. And the more you say it, the more you're going to hear it, and the more it's going to get down into your spirit. Surely He hath bore our griefs, our sicknesses, and carried our sorrows, our diseases. He's carried our pains, both physically and mentally. So you can say it and say that. Say it very loudly. Say, by His stripes, I am healed. Real loud. Then you're healed. And guess what? Sometimes you got to speak to the body, right? He spoke to a fig tree, didn't He? And He spoke to the wind, didn't He? Come on, think about it. He spoke to a dead man, and he got up. You got to speak the Word. You got to speak the Word. So when you say, I am healed, you're healed. See, you're not sick and trying to get healed. You're already healed. Sickness is just trying to attack your physical body. And that's when you tell sickness and you tell disease to pack your bags and hit the road. Hit the road, sickness. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more. Right? That's what you got to say to it. Amen? And that's where I'm going to stop. I got lots more, and it'll be in a part two of this. But God has been speaking to me, and I got to speak it, and I'm speaking to my body. That's what you got to do. Amen. Speak to your body. Your body says, don't you know what the Word says? Word says, you are healed. You were healed 2,000 years ago. When my Savior said, it is finished, I was healed. Then is when I was healed. Not now. I'm not waiting for it. I am healed. I know that I'm fighting a good fight of faith, and that's what we're supposed to do. Fight the good fight of faith. Nobody else can fight your fight. You got to fight the fight. You do. It's a challenge against you, and you speak the Word against it. Get out of the newspaper. Get out of the magazines. Get out of listening to their talk shows. Get out of listening to that TV. Quit listening to all those sports programs. Spend some more time with the Father. Spend time with Him in His Word. Hallelujah. And don't tell me you ain't going to get healed, delivered, and set free. Amen.